In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, what I'm going to share with you tonight is about hearing the voice of God. You know, God is speaking. Can you hear it? You know, I believe that with each of us, you know, from that moment when we heard the voice of the Holy Spirit drawing us to the Father to receive what God did for us in the light and life of Jesus, what the provision that God made for us, that we could receive Jesus as Lord, from that very moment when we heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because no man, you heard His voice, because no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn by the Holy Spirit. So at one point in your life, if you're a Christian here today and you're saying, I'm a Christian, you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that with each of us, you're like me, you want to hear the voice of God. You want to hear the voice of God and instruction to guide you, to direct you, to help you, to just have some intimate time with you, just to talk to you. But I'm telling you here tonight, God is speaking. The question is, are you hearing it? Or do you have all of this, His voice buried in the noise of your life and in the distractions of life? You know, I shared with you the last time we were together from the sower and the seed illustration that Jesus gave, and He's trying so hard to help us to understand God. He's trying to connect us with God and how to hear God's voice. And so much of that illustration there shares with the things that you and I battle with many times, and that in our hearts we have all this pollution of life that goes on, and even the distractions, even the immaturity of life. Immaturity will keep you from receiving what God has for you. And I want to hear God's voice. And I know that you do too. And I want to share some of those things with you tonight about God speaking. And here in John the 10th chapter, in verse 3, very familiar passage of Scripture, talking about Jesus and our relationship to Him as our shepherd, and how God opens up the sheepfold to the shepherd. It says in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because, why? They know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And there in verse 3, it says, they listen to his voice. Sheep can actually distinguish the voice of their shepherd as opposed to any other shepherd. I've heard stories of where sheepfolds, guys, shepherds and their sheep cross paths, you know, in the road. But, you know, their flocks don't get all mixed up. Because a shepherd, all he's got to do, whatever he says to beckon those sheep. Okay, come on with me. Y'all, come over here. You know, I guess, however the sheep shepherds do that, you know, talk to sheep. I don't know. But anyway, I don't talk to sheep. I talk to the shepherd, so I don't know how you. But they will distinguish like that because they know their shepherd's voice. Now, you and I, as children of God, are to recognize our shepherd's voice, Jesus. And so I believe that God wants to take us to this dynamic place in our relationship with Him and in our existence as Christians, to where we can put out all the other voices and truly hear God. Where we can shove all these other sounds out and all these other voices that are screaming in our ears, in our heart, and be able to hear God. That's where God wants to take us. And that's a dynamic place to be in. So we need to understand that God is speaking to you in a very personal way. Your God's speaking to you in a very personal way. And what we need to know is the why and the how. Why is He speaking to you? What does it look like when our Father's speaking to us? That's what we need to know. And I want to emphasize this again. He's speaking to us in a very personal way. And I want to share this quote from a guy named Dallas Willard. Now listen to this. Because there's people today that are saying, well, God doesn't speak to us. God doesn't talk to us. You mean God's talking to you? And my response, and He's not talking to you? But there's people and even groups that are so-called Christians say that God doesn't talk to us today. But listen to this quote by Dallas Willard. It makes so much sense to me. If God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice that we could ever do to people is to tell them that they could have a personal relationship with God. That is powerful to me. That makes so much sense to me. Here we see in the Word that God wants to have a relationship with us, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and to say that God's not talking to us, that's about as goofy as a day is long. Amen. And so you must think that, you know, the God that we know and that we serve is not the God that's presented by so many religions around the earth today. He's not distant. He's not mad. I believe that God's trying to have a relationship with you, very intimate, personal relationship with you. In Matthew, the first chapter, verse 23, that's where the angel is speaking. He says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he's a personal God. He's a very personal father. And what needs to happen is for God to speak right into your heart. Now, I want to share with you a few reasons why he speaks, reasons that he speaks into our hearts. For one, we're going to find in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, verse 11, God speaks to facilitate friendship. And it says here, I love this, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as one who speaks to a friend. Oh, man, that talks about a relationship that I have with God, that you have with God. God wants to relate to you as a friend. And I think so many times that we struggle in prayer and I don't mean to be ugly to anybody, and please don't be insulted. I don't mean it this way, but we try to mimic a particular version of the Bible with the these and the thous, and you don't talk to anybody in your life like that. You don't talk to any of your friends like that. But see, God wants to visit with you and talk to you on a friend-to-friend relationship as he would talk to a friend, as he would talk to a friend. He's looking for that friend conversation, and you can have that whether you're driving down the road, whether you're walking. Ladies, if you're like Kathy, you're there talking to God while you're putting your makeup on. Some of her best prayer times and conversations with God is there while she's you got some real time there, you know what I'm saying? Come on, guys. You got a lot of time right there, you know. See, she's not here tonight. I know y'all not going to tattle on me, right? Come on now. Everybody raise your right hand. Okay. That's right. So, you know, prayer sometimes it gets over-structured. And we're talking about the reasons that he speaks to us. A second one is God speaks to give guidance, to alert us even of dangers. And I'll share some things with you tonight, maybe as far as how God has so protected me. He even tells us sometimes some of the roads you should not go down. I've seen God give guidance to literally protect my life, where I was hearing his voice. And there's times when he said, move now. And literally, I'd move on that voice, and he saved my life. And I'm not going to go any further, so I don't waste time here. But how many times have you experienced that? But to give you guidance sometimes to say, hey, you shouldn't go down that road. Now, here's the tension that we face. God, if God is guiding you away from something that you're doing, you probably are not going to agree with it or like it because you think you're going down the right road. You think you're doing the best that you should be doing. But sometimes God takes you down a different road. Are you with me? Come on now. You're headed down this road, and God says, you shouldn't go down that road. Lord, I want to go down that road. So you wouldn't be heading that direction if you didn't think it was the right direction. But you know what? God sees your end at your beginning. God sees all the bridges out. He sees the things that are going on and the challenges. And you know what? We've got to trust God. Proverbs 3:6, it's a very familiar scripture. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Listen to the Message Bible. It says, listen to God. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. So see, there's a reason why God's talking to you. There's a reason why God wants to talk to you, to facilitate friendship, to give guidance, but he also speaks to provide perspective. Oh, this is good. The definition of perspective is seeing all the relevant data in a situation. Not everything that you see in the natural is what's going on. Have you realized that? Not everything you see in your peripheral vision, in your little world there, is what's going on. There's a lot of things that are going on, and you need some perspective about life, even your walk. And that's what God does. Listen, Keith Kraft, I love his quote here. He said, "The deeper you go with God, the shallower everything else is." So you don't see everything for what it is. God is wanting to unveil some things for you to see, not just what's on the surface of our understanding. He wants to go beyond that. See, 2 Corinthians says we walk by faith, not by sight. There are things in the natural even that we're not seeing. I've as a young man, I loved to hunt. I used to hunt as a kid growing up, but now I love hunting. I know to me it was different coming out, and when you hunt whitetail, they come to a feeder. It's a different world for me. I wanted to go hunt them out, you know, chase them out, stir them out of the bush, you know, stuff like that. And you know, the thing about hunting in the woods, there's more than seeing. All your other senses begin to come into play, even smell and listening, because I could listen and I could even smell and I could sense the wildlife that I couldn't see. Are y'all following that? How many of you ever, you know what I'm talking about? Hunters, come on. How many ladies know what I'm talking about? Yes, come on. So what we got to do is to develop our spiritual listening more than our natural vision. We've got to learn to trust what the Lord is showing you. You're looking at defeat, but you're listening to victory. So you got to have a perspective, God's perspective on our lives, because He sees more than what you're seeing. Amen? One of the things, and I want to try to get this across to you, to your life, to a self-awareness that can change the way that you think. If you can have some self-awareness, I mean, why are you here? I don't mean just in Brownwood. I don't mean just in Victory Life. Why are you living and breathing? Why are you in 2019? Why are you here? You know, and I was reading in the book of Esther, and I wanted to read it again because someone said that Kathy has an Esther spirit about her. And really, the thing about the book of Esther that you'll see is her attitude was, she was born for such a time as this. She was born and placed in a position that saved the children of Israel, the people of God. It's amazing. It's exciting, wonderful story. But there's something there that you and I need to gain, is that you got to realize you and I were born into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. See, God wants to speak into your heart, and He wants to speak from His dynamic of thinking. You're here for a reason. You're living and breathing at this year and this point in the kingdom of God for a very special reason. God saw fit to place you here on this earth at this time for His will, and He needs to be talking to you about it. Are y'all with me? He needs to be speaking to you about it. Will you hear God? I want to hear God. I don't want to get pulled into all the ugliness of life and miss the will and purpose of God for my life. So I got to learn how to hear His voice. That's why God speaks to us, because He's trying to show us something. And then we've got to know what it looks like. There was a time in my life I didn't know that God was talking to me. He's trying to get something across to me for a real purpose. So I've endeavored. I said, God, I want to hear Your voice. I don't want to miss Your voice again. I'll share this story so that you'll see what I'm talking about. And when I was going to college, New Mexico State University, God was trying to speak to me. I didn't know it was God. Y'all follow? Y'all ever been there? Okay. I came in, my mom and dad were going to a church just up above the university, New Mexico State University. I was living in the dorm, so I'd go up there and go to church with them. Have y'all ever been to church where you felt like the preacher was preaching at you and they must be telling the preacher about you? But it's just that you needed everything he was saying, right? But it's during that time that God was drawing me back to him. I got saved at 13. He was drawing me to him. I just didn't know his voice. I remember coming in. If you know this story, please forgive me. I don't want to become redundant, but it changed me. It radically impacted me. I came in one night late, and so it was late, so I had to park at the top of the parking lot into the dorm. So I parked my Firebird Formula 400. Okay. I missed that Firebird. I parked in the top of the parking lot, and so it was all full of cars. And as I was walking down between the vehicles to get to my dorm room late at night, there was a young man sitting in a Ford pickup. I can see it today. I'm walking and I'm approaching the back of the truck to the left side. Had the big mirrors, you know. There's a young man sitting in that truck. And as I approached that truck, a voice spoke to me and said, stop and talk to him. And I stopped in my tracks, and I'm saying, well, I don't know who that is. And the voice said, stop and talk to him. Well, I don't know who that is. I didn't dawn on me. I'm talking to somebody. I don't even know who's talking to me. Third time, he said, stop and talk to him. I said, I don't even know who that guy is. I talked myself out of it. I walked right past him between his vehicle and the next vehicle. Had to go by the mirror to get by. He's sitting there, kind of dazed looking, deep thought. Went on down to my dorm, went to bed. Got out the next morning to go to class, and they were up there dragging him out of that truck. He'd shot himself in the head. Oh, yeah. I've had to live with that all these years. But God has forgiven me. But see, the Holy Spirit was trying to speak into my heart. I was like the last guy between him and eternity, and I didn't know it was God's voice. See, God has a purpose that he speaks to our hearts. He's got a reason for it. He doesn't speak to you for no reason. He's trying to get something to you. So I want to hear God, why he speaks to me, what it looks like. And there's different ways that he speaks to us. And this is the one, there's one way I'm going to share with you tonight that he speaks to us. And I want to share that because I think it's the foremost way that I remember God speaking to me initially. And I think it's the most dynamic way that God speaks to our hearts. And it's the gentle whispers of God. And we want to see what that looks like, what the whispers look like. Let's go over to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. And here Elijah had won a great battle in chapter 18. And maybe you know the story, and if you don't, go read those chapters and put them together. How, you know, even the greatest guys have faced challenges and emotional challenges, just like you. Sometimes on the eve of your greatest victory, you have the potential of your greatest defeat. But not listening to God, you know, and letting doubt and confusion get into your heart. And here he was on the end of his greatest battle. And then all of a sudden he gets all depressed and I'm the only one left. And so-and-so's trying to kill me and there's nobody here but me, God. Carrying on and whining, you know what I'm saying? He wanted to hear from God. And I still... Seems like this is kind of a strange passage of Scripture. I want to hear from God. God's going to show him, here's how I talk to you. And he's sitting there talking to God about God telling him how he's going to talk to him. Does that make sense, y'all? All right, I don't know. But here, I need to listen to some good preachers on this passage. Maybe I'll get some revelation, okay? 1 Kings 19, but it is very interesting. It relates to what I'm talking to you tonight about. In verse 11, it says, the Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came what? A gentle whisper, a still small voice. Look at verse 13. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? where he really related to the Lord was that still, gentle, quiet voice speaking. God said, I'm not in all of this. Where you need to hear my voice is in here, on the inside. And I've thought about that many times. It's like when you desperately need to hear God, where there is a place in our humanity where it can be the greatest victory won, but it can also allow the enemy to come in and bring such destruction in our emotions. It's in that quiet moment when you recede inside of you. Are y'all with me? Yeah. It's when you're out here and all the battle's going on, man, you raise up and you fight and you carry on. You can carry on and function. But what about in that quietest of moment when it's nothing but you and God? Where you need to be hearing God's voice. And if you don't recognize God's voice, what is it that seeps in your humanity? Fear and doubt? Confusion? Y'all understand what I'm trying to get at? I don't know that I'm communicating it well enough. How many times have you laid at night and woke up and you couldn't go back to sleep because you couldn't turn your head off? And you thought about all the fears, all the anxiety, all the junk. And what you need to do is hear God's voice. You need that quiet, gentle, still voice. It's in those moments that can turn your world around. With me? I laid under a car in the early 90s, felt defeated, beaten down, felt like a failure. I couldn't go another step. I laid under that car, broken, totally broken emotionally. Didn't want to crawl out of the car. God, just let me die right here. I can't go another step. Can't go at all. And that quiet, gentle voice of the Holy Spirit spoke to me inside. I had preached it. I had taught it. But when you hear that gentle voice on the inside of the Holy Spirit speak to you, he said, oh no, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And at that moment, from the depth of my being, I knew it was going to be all right. I knew it was going to be all right. When you hear that voice in your quiet moment, those moments where you're there's nobody else but you, you and God, that's when you need to hear the voice of God. Amen. So, let's look at some of these areas to recognize where God speaks to us. Number one, he whispers encouragement. I mean, he's always doing that. Have you ever noticed that God is not tearing us down and pointing out all of our faults? You measly worm. You showed up to church this morning. I know what you did yesterday, you bum. Oh, that wasn't God, okay? He's encouraging us in who we are. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Testifies means he's speaking into our spirit. Listen to the Amplified. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. God's all about family. He's going to be encouraging us as family. Isaiah 55:3, pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. See, God wants to encourage us. He wants to speak into our hearts. And what it's going to be, it's all about life, encouragement. And that's what we should be around Victory Life Church. When people come in, we don't need to be beating people down. Yeah, I saw you last week. Well, how'd you see me if you wasn't in there too, you know? Well, anyway, but we should be encouraging people, lifting them up. It's like God, you know, he's saying, you're my kid. How do you look at your kids? You know what? My children, no matter how much they would mess up, they're always going to be my kids. I'm always going to love my kids. Do you realize that's how God looks at you? That's the way he looks at you. He knows what you did yesterday. He loves you anyway. Because he's always looking at what and who you can be. That's God. And he whispers warnings. Whoa. Now, if you've been new to the church, you've heard some of these Christians that, I just had a check in my spirit. It's because he whispers warnings. Caution. Holy Spirit says, you know what? I wouldn't go there and do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'm going to show you some scripture in the book of Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, listen to this. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go on to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So he's giving us direction and even as much as warnings. And I know that some people, they think they're doing a good thing as far as violating all that. So, it don't matter. What are they going to do? Go to hell? I'm going to go preach to them anyway. Don't you think it'd be better to let the Holy Spirit guide you into all that? I have always felt like if I'm going to share with somebody and try to share the word with them, I'm praying the Holy Spirit put words inside of me that he's already putting in their heart. And if he says, listen, don't go this direction this time, there's got to be a reason. He knows the lay of the land. I don't. But sometimes it has to do with bringing warnings to us. Because sometimes he's saying, don't do that. I wouldn't date that person. It could compromise your values. Could cross the line. Right? Maybe he's speaking in your heart. Say, hey, it's time to share that load and burden with other people. Quit shouldering it yourself. Amen. Get help. So this is a dynamic of our Christian walk. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is supposed to be a dynamic of your Christian walk. That as God is guiding you and directing you and you're communing with the Holy Spirit, you need to be listening to his voice, because sometimes you can say, listen, you need to turn to the right, you need to turn to the left, you need to do this, do that. Holy Spirit, guide me. I want to hear your voice speaking into my spirit. Another thing that he does is he does whisper direction. But here's the secret. You got to get involved in the process. God, I want you to direct my path. I want to hear your voice of direction, but you got to yield your heart to the Lord to hear his voice. To say, yeah, Lord, I need your direction in my heart. There's a guy named Simeon that was serving in the synagogue when Jesus was an infant. And on a certain day, they would bring him their babies to consecrate him to the Lord. And Simeon was a devout man, loved God, looking for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit guided him to the temple that day. It says when Joseph and Mary went to the temple for the customary dedication of the baby Jesus, he was there, and he took him up in his arms, and he began to speak blessings. He began to tell them what this child would do. And then at that one point, even Simeon, he was led by the Holy Spirit for that day. God gave him direction to go there. And that day, he said, God, you can take me home now. I have seen the Messiah. Wow. So he was listening for the direction of the Lord to see the hand of the God. In Luke 2:27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Man, that was a tremendous interaction for Simeon. Don't we want that kind of interaction with God? Yeah, God, I want you to give me direction. I want you to guide my steps. And then Paul, over in the book of Acts 20:22, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. We need to have that compelling of the Holy Spirit to guide our steps, but I got to be all in, man. Holy Spirit, guide my steps. Where do you want me to go? Brownwood? Where is Brownwood, Lord? Surely that's not out in West Texas. I got delivered from West Texas, Lord. It don't even rain out there, you know? I wanted to hear the Lord giving me direction, right? Surely it's not that one down the far tip of Texas, Lord. But man, it couldn't get any better. It's right in the heart of Texas. So the Lord knows better than I know. He could be just saying to you, slow down. Slow down now. But on the other hand, he could be saying, it's time to pick it up a little. What are you doing? When are you going to join? When are you going to jump in? It might be, why not let today be the day you give your heart to Jesus. Why not let today be the day to take your next step? Another thing that he does is that he whispers in dreams. Dreams with direction. Dreams with vision. Dreams with anointings. I mean, God puts dreams on the inside of us of things that we didn't know that we could dream about. Puts such great hope and vision and purpose that he can drop inside of you. So I know sometimes that we get scared, but God can put dreams in our heart beyond what we ever envisioned that we could do. Many of us are doing things that we never thought possible until God put that dream in our heart. Right? He puts dreams and visions of the night in our hearts. Acts 2 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all people. What is that going to look like when he pours out his spirit upon all people? He said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Amen. You know why God puts something on the inside of you? Why he drops something on the inside of you? So that you can be a solution to the problem, not the problem. God wants his people to rise up and be solutions to the chaos and the confusion and the darkness. That's why God puts stuff on the inside of you. And then, you know, sometimes God can put stuff inside of you that's so practical. I mean, it just applies to your job. Can I share one of those with you? I used to work in the airline industry. And I took this job and moved into this job, and there's like 250 ladies working there. That was a different world. I went from working men in industrial fabrication to all those women. You don't tell women, now y'all going to show up in the morning, we got to fulfill this contract, y'all going to show up an hour early. They said, no, we're not. We got daycare, we got kids taking, no, it ain't gonna, you don't do the same thing, you know what I'm saying? But I remember, I loved being in blue jeans, you know. I mean, that was a job, upper level management, where many of them, we would show up in business casual and dress slacks and dress shirt because you're dealing with airline people and, you know, purchasing agents from all different airlines. American Airlines was our largest customer. But I'd want to go in jeans. And Kathy would say, Stan, you got to quit dressing in jeans. You got to, you know, you're at this level of interaction with people. You need to be dressing up, you know. And I said, baby, I might have to go out there and help them with that machinery that day. You know, I might have to do this or do that. I'm wearing my jeans, you know. And she tried to get it across to me, but the Lord had to get me. So, and I wasn't an old man yet either. I was a young man, but a young man can see dreams too. So I had this dream one night, and maybe this will help somebody. But I was in California getting ready to talk to some purchasing agents for some major airlines. The business manager, she was there, office manager was there. And so the next morning when I came down that morning, all those business people down there with their suits and they dress nice, man. Some of the men even get their nails polished, you know what I'm saying? That's a little different from me, redneck. We didn't do that. But it's a different world. And so she's come down. I see her at the bottom of the staircase as well, and she's dressed in her business attire. And so I start down the ladder, I mean down the stairway of the motel from the second floor, and suddenly I look down and realize what I'm dressed in. And I'm dressed in a clown suit. I got the big shoes, I got the clown outfit, I got the funny hair, and I thought, oh my word, I'm dressed like a clown. Okay, God, I get it. I woke up and said, okay, God, I get it. That made an impression on me. Sometimes God will show you some things even in your dream state that will make an impression on you. That you wake up and you're a different man, you know what I'm saying? Now, that don't mean nothing to y'all, but it sure made a difference to me. So, you know, God speaks to us, even in our dream states, many times to be a solution, to make an impact. What's your role? You got to be a solution, not a problem or a statistic. You got to be light in the darkness. My best advice to you is go all in. Give God your best. Make a difference. You want to hear God? Go all in. Don't be a part-time Christian. Give, participate, make a difference in who you are. That's who we are as a church, knowing God and finding our freedom and making a difference. That's who we want to be. You want to make a difference with your life. That's who we are. Bring the light of Jesus to the world. And what do we need? Last scripture, we'll go to 1 Samuel. What we need is an attitude. You need this attitude. Lord, speak to me. Lord, I'm open to hear. When you have those quiet moments when there's nobody else but you, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear. I want to hear your voice. I am eager to respond. Quieten your soulless realm down to where you can hear the Spirit of God. Sometimes we got so much junk going on, we're on information overload. You got to set some time. You got to slow down. You got to listen to hear the voice of God, to even learn how to recognize it. It's got to get to a point where you learn to recognize that still voice, that soft, tender voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into your life. Are y'all with me? But it takes an attitude of, I want that, Lord. I want that. I'm so grateful for my job when I first gave my life to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Spirit. I would drive for hours to a job by myself. I would sing to the Lord, speak to the Lord, pray, and then I'd have that quiet time. Sometimes I just had to hush and listen. But you got to be all in and say, God, I want it. I want it so desperately. 1 Samuel 3, and I'll close with this scripture. So Eli told Samuel, he said, go and lie down, and if he calls you, talking about God, if he calls you, say, Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Your servant's listening. You got to want it more than anything else. So, God, I'm all in with you. God wants to make a difference in your life. Take your step today to hear and respond. Pray to God. Listen, it's the best decision you'll ever make is to completely surrender to God. Now, maybe next time we're together, I'll share with you about how to weigh it out and gauge it, whether it's God speaking to you or maybe something else, all right? Let's stand together. Hope you got something out of this tonight. Praise God. Praise God. You know, those quiet moments where there's no one else but you. That's why the Lord wants us to meditate on His Word. Spend time in His Word so His Word become alive inside of us. Because it's in those moments where either destruction can come or great victory in your mind and in your heart. It's those moments like that where the battles are won. Are y'all with me? Where you slow down and you listen to God and let Him bring that Word, that fresh Word, that rhema word, that God-given word into your heart that'll drive you in your life to success. So we should be desiring for that quiet time. It's almost like some Christians are trying to go so fast. I can't slow down. I don't want to slow down. They listen to all the discouragement and the rattle and the pollution and the distractions and even their own immaturity. Man, we want to be fruitful ground where God's Word can sink deep into our hearts. So let me close with tonight, and there'll be folks, if you're visiting with us, there'll be folks down here as I close the service who will agree with you in prayer. If you have a prayer need or prayer request, they'll believe God with you for miracles. But let me pray for you tonight. There's some of you that I'm just sensing in the Spirit, not a great deal, but there are more than one here tonight. There was a time that you heard the voice of God, that quiet, still voice, and your life got so hectic that you weren't tuned in, you weren't listening. And you know what? I believe that you missed that. And maybe you yearned for that. And it's time to get back to saying, God, here I am. Speak to my heart. I'm here, and I will yield to that tonight. I want to hear your voice to where it's so loud, even in its quietness and stillness, that it pushes everything else out. It's just you and God. You can be right there where you are and just be you and God. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. We desperately yearn to hear your voice. or to hear your voice. When we hear your voice, there's never that loneliness and loss and discouragement, but only peace and a security. Because it's by that voice that we know we're your son, your daughter. And we yearn to hear your voice tonight. We yearn to hear your voice speaking into our hearts. Lord, forgive us where we got off and we either got so busy or distracted. We allowed things to come into our hearts where we weren't listening. We definitely weren't the solution to problems. We were the problem. But Lord, we desire to hear your voice tonight. Speak into our hearts because you love us so much. And Lord, we love you. We desperately love you. And Jesus, you're my shepherd. You're my shepherd. I have heard your voice calling, drawing me to you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, speak into our hearts tonight. Let every person in this room be revitalized in their heart and desire and passion for you, to where nothing else matters, Lord, but you. I pray for healing in people's hearts tonight, Father, who got a little bit off track in their heart and their attitude, got a little bit off track. Restore that one tonight, Father. Restore that one tonight, Father, who's had some brokenness and hurt, allowed themselves to be distracted or even misled by the pain. Bring us back to you, Father. Heal our hearts tonight. And I pray a blessing on my brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, that this will be a refreshing time for them as they press into you, Father. That then we can have eyes to see and ears to hear what you'd say to us and where you would guide us. Guide our every step, Father, because you're the one that puts us on the right path. And let your will be done in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.